bad time in and me. We find a lot of things out this way, and there's you, a little black cloud in a dress. The temptation to take the precious things we have apart to see how they work must be resisted, for they never fit together again. If this is rain, let it fall on me and drown me. If these are tears, let them fall. Must I paint you a picture about the way that I feel? You know my love for you is strong, girls. You know my love for you is real. It took a short walk and a talk to change the rules of engagement, while you searched frantically for reverse. Then claiming that virtue never tested is no virtue at all. And so I lost my ignorance, and now the bells across the river chime out your name. I look across to them again. Must I paint you a picture about the way that I feel? You know my love for you is strong, girls. You know my love for you is real.
All your friends say, come down, it will never fly. This would never happen if we lived by the sea.
Most important decisions in life are made between two people in bed. I've found that out at my expense. When I see you, you just turn around and walk away like we never met. Oh, we used to be so brave. I dreamt the world stopped turning as we climbed the hill. I dreamt impossible dreams if we were lovers still. Must I paint you a picture about the way that I feel? You know my love for you is strong, girls. You know my love for you is real. Must I paint you a picture about the way that I feel? You know my love for you is strong, girls. You know my love for you is real.
You're now listening to
Hey folks, this is your DJ Amelia Williams here at 91.5 Tufts Freeform here in Medford. You're here with me in the Fauna Sauna, It's a Thursday night. We're all just a bunch of megafauna in a world that's getting hotter. We started the hour off with Billy Bragg, kind of an odd choice for me, but it played in an outro of a Catherine Keener starred film by Nicole Holofcener. So obviously it had a very special place in my heart, and I think it is kind of an earnest tune in a non-earnest time of living. I am again on the hill, recently reimagined as Magic Mountain, but Hans Castorp is nowhere to be found this evening. I know you all want to know what I'm wearing in the least sexy way possible, but tonight it's just my cute little denim jacket. Today's show is a show. We all know this. It is, but it's kind of a weird one. When I typed out the playlist name, I called it Fauna Sauna Day in the Sun, which is funny now because I have a night show. But yeah, I think there's a lot of movement in songs, a lot of feelings. We are playing Noah Ellis next, the album that I cannot not play in my car when I'm driving now. So here's Noah.
We both knew. Thank you.
DJ Amelia Williams. We all know that Fleet Foxes came out with a new album last week, but have you heard that last tune from the not-so-critically acclaimed album of theirs from 2016? Fleet Foxes are only really good for me in their sentimentality, but I love that song. I love the song, the idea of making and marking time on another person, and kind of creating new senses of time through experience. Leave the World Behind. Before that was a Brian Eno and John Cale song I love, and before that was a Caribou remix that I danced to every night of the last week loudly, because I want to dance around in public and not so that my roommate can hear me in her 8 p.m. slumber. Up next we got Prince with Playing the Sunshine from the reissue of Sign of the Times, just the dang most best. The musicality of Dirty Mind, but like grown up, and he just makes so many good references to the time and past albums lyrically, and the music is non-pretentious and joyous, and he just seems, I mean, a lot of Prince's music is quite joyous, but I don't know, this is different, so I love it. Here he is.
Thank you.
This is your DJ. We just heard from Harumi Omi Hosono, Cocteau Twins, and the new single off of the Sufjan Stevens LP. I can't hear that twin song without thinking about riding bikes with my best friend, who's still one of my best friends who lives in Seattle. She bullied me into buying so many good albums that I'm better off knowing and loving. Still one of the people that I feel most comfortable with sitting in silence with. She used to bring VHS tapes into the dive bar in the back of the pizza place that we would go to after work, and they would play them for us. And that was probably one of the best ways to watch a movie. We worked at a grocery store together, and she worked in the samples part where she would make, small foods to give to people to try to sell them the foods. But she would always make me full-size sandwiches. And if I liked them, she would give me these little printed-out recipes like sandwiches with Dubliner cheese and sauerkraut, and that was really the moment in which I knew she was my friend. And she had moved to Seattle from Butte, Montana, back in the 90s when, I think you could still just take I-90 straight from Butte to Seattle when she was 18. And the last time I saw her, we laid in a field next to the Puget Sound and stared at the Olympics, and there was a forest fire and it was all hazy. She's not dead or in pain or anything. I think she's going back to work soon, but Lives are long and short. Here's a song by The Clientele.
In those days, there was a kind of fever that pushed me out of the front door into the pale exhaust fumes parked by Broadwater Farm, or the grubby road that eventually leads to Enfield. Turkish supermarkets after chicken restaurant after spare parts shop. Everything in my life felt like it was coming to a mysterious close. I could hardly walk to the end of the street without feeling there was no way to go except back. The dates I'd had that summer had come to nothing. My job was a dead end and the rent check was killing me a little more each month. It seemed unlikely that anything could hold much longer. The only question left to ask was what would happen after everything familiar collapsed. But for now, the summer stretched between me and that moment. It was ferociously hot, and the air quality became so bad that by the evening the noise of nearby trains stuttered in fits and starts, distorted through the shifting air. As I lay in my room, I could hear my neighbors discussing the World Cup and opening beers in their gardens. On the other side, someone was singing an Arabic prayer through the thin wall. I had no money for the pub, so I decided to go for a walk. I found myself wandering aimlessly to the west, past the terrace of chicken kebab shops and laundrettes near the tube station. I crossed the street and headed into virgin territory. I'd never been this way before. Gravel-dashed houses alternated with square 60s offices, and the white pavements undulated with cracks and litter. I walked and walked because there was nothing else for me to do, and by degrees, the light began to fade. The mouth of an avenue led me to the verge of a long, greasy A-road that rose up in the far distance, with symmetrical terraces falling steeply down then up again from the distant railway station. There were four benches to my right, interspersed with those strange bushes that grow in the area, whose blossoms are so pale yellow they seem translucent, almost spectral. And suddenly tired, I sat down. I held my head in my hands, feeling like shit, but a sudden breeze escaped from the terraces, and for a moment I lost my thoughts in its unexpected coolness. I looked up, and I realized I was sitting in a photograph. I remembered clearly, this photograph was taken by my mother in 1982, outside our front garden in Hampshire. It was slightly underexposed. I was still sitting on the bench, but the colors and the planes of the road and horizon had become the photo. If I looked hard, I could see the lines of the window ledge in the original photograph were now composed by a tree branch and the silhouetted edge of a grass verge. The sheen of the flash on the window was replicated by bonfire smoke, drifting infinitesimally slowly from behind a fence. My sister's face had been dimly visible behind the window, and yes, there were pale stars far off to the west that traced out the lines of a toddler's eyes and mouth. When I look back at this, there's nothing to grasp, no starting point. I was inside an underexposed photo from 1982, but I was also sitting on a bench in Haringey. Strongest of all was the feeling of 1982-ness. Dizzy, illogical, as if none of the intervening disasters and wrong turns had happened yet. I felt guilty and inconsolably sad. I felt the instinctive tug back to school, the memory of shopping malls, cooking, driving in my mother's car. All gone, gone forever. I just sat there for a while. I was so tired that I didn't bother trying to work out what was going on. I was happy just to sit in the photo while it lasted, which wasn't for long anyway. The light faded, the wind caught the smoke, the stars dimmed under the glare of the street lamps. I got up and walked away from the squat little benches and an oncoming gang of kids. A bus was rumbling to my rescue down the hill with a great big Via Alexandra Palace on its front, and I realized I did want to drink after all.
Last night I had a dream that I was teaching Willem Dafoe how to ski, but at the base of where we were skiing there was a waterfall and a river, and I had a pick, you know, like an ice pick, like you have when you're ice climbing, and we fell into the cold water, and I spent a really long time, what seemed like hours, trying to hack myself out of this freezing cold water. My arms are aching, I'm just doing this repetitive motion over and over and over again. My lower body is like slowly losing feeling, but after what seemed like a million tiny eternities, I surfaced and immediately woke up. So I didn't even see if Willem Dafoe, one of my favorite people, was okay, and I hope he's fine. And I'm sorry, Willem. But also yesterday, I, for some reason, told the story of my scariest, most reoccurring dream from childhood, and I've been thinking about it, in which I was six and seven when I had these dreams, in which I'm forced by the devil to cross a bridge in a volcano over a pit of fire and lava. So we're like in the volcano, right? He asked us to bring our favorite toy, and I tricked him, and I brought one of my least favorite toys so I wouldn't have to throw my teddy bear. His name's Teddy, shout out to Teddy, into the flames. Still my bear. This is what religion does to your children, folks, so wouldn't recommend it. A lot of hell dreams. Though I do have a very cute devil tattoo now, so maybe it was worth it.
Call me a coward, I am. Lay me a line like I can. I taste your body in mine. But on my birthday time, I spend, I believe, 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 I believe if you could can. Is it enough? The crime, is it enough? The boogie, the bottle, the bad times, is it enough? I am man on man, the monster plan, is it enough? The crash, the crackle, the pathetic, the walls, the waste, the well wishes and the race hate, is it enough?
This is your DJ, the people's DJ, the communlinguist. You're here with me in the Fauna Sauna. We're all just a bunch of megafauna in a crumbling democracy that has little hope for much at all. But you are listening to 91.5 Tufts Freeform. It's almost 10. It's the 10 p.m. hour of the 2000 hour. And I'm glad that you guys are here. And I'm glad that, yeah, we got some of the DJs back in the studio. Me, I am still on the hill, the Magic Mountain, getting treated for scary dreams and mild addictions. And once I stood in a room where a man's life's work was, it was his entire life's work in this room that you could just see completely with your eyes, and it sent me down a bad path. But I think on the other end of that path, after a good 2 years, two good years, but also a good 2 years, I am less concerned. I think about what will be in the room of my life's work, but rather thinking about how many times I have been in a room that held somebody's entire life's work and I didn't realize it, right? I'm thinking of a cafeteria in my hometown in an elementary school. I'm thinking about an airstrip a couple of miles away from my childhood home. Like an apartment in Lower Queen Anne in Seattle, like a boat workshop in Paulsville, like across the bridge. And we all know that a life is more than work, but a life's labor is a little different. Anyways, I'm going to end this hour with a song that my mother told me she loved one time when we were staying in a hotel. With no windows. The hotel room had no windows in Nashville, Tennessee. And I had just had some major surgery and I was feeling anxious and kind of complacent. And I played this song to get myself out of my complacency. And my mom really responded to it, which I think, if you can imagine, a 55-year-old Kentuckian woman responding to this next song, it's quite funny. So... keep you in a menace. Wear your mask. Don't call it the Paris Accord, it's the Paris Agreement. And I hope you have a good weekend. Take care.
Oh, They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one!
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two!
Virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Thank you.